You look at the amount of spend that occurs in the public sector, and particularly within the procurement circle. There's estimates as high as over $7 trillion annually that's spent. Half of that is from the federal government, and about half of that is also from state and local. So that's quite a bit of money that passes through the public procurement arena. The reality is that procurement is really seen still as a field of study. It really is not an actual profession, although we hire professionals to do this job. And the reason why it's really not identified as a profession is because it's missing some of the key ingredients that are in place for a profession like attorneys, doctors, engineers, accountants.
Such as?
The three really we would identify as a rigorous body of knowledge that's supported through theory, through research, through application. Secondly, an academic environment where you would go through and get both undergrad and graduate degrees in public sector procurement or supply chain. We realize that that trend is starting to change. We're seeing a lot more in the federal space, certainly with the universities that support the D.C. area. But if you look beyond D.C., you're not seeing a lot of colleges and universities that are supporting the academic flavor for a profession. And the third, and really is to this point, is agreed upon rigorous standards of practice for the profession. And that's the reason why this particular project is so important to NIGP, and certainly is important to the larger community that supports public procurement.
Now, talk to me about, so what do you hope to create here? The website went up, just has gone up, Principles and Practices of Public Procurement. Is this for a federal, state, and local? I mean, is this across the spectrum of public procurement officials?
Absolutely, across the spectrum. The idea really is that you will practice procurement a little bit differently depending upon whether you're following the FAR and the federal government, or you're following your state or local statutes or regulations that are defined. But when you go back to the kind of the cornerstone of this program, which is to start with values that are important to public procurement, and then you cascade that down from values to guiding principles, and then finally the standards of practice, I think we can all kind of agree that the values that are anchoring this project are universal, regardless of whether you're in federal, state, or local. They are accountability, ethics, impartiality, professionalism, service, and transparency. And those are values and principles that are fairly consistent regardless of where you're practicing procurement.
And so how do you see, by having a standards of practice out there, principles and practices of public procurement, how will this change how agencies go about, any government organization goes about actually carrying out its work?
Well, if you use the values, guiding principles, and then the standards of practices as your benchmark, it allows organizations to begin to model those standards of practice. Oftentimes you find a problem that occurs in a public agency. The key stakeholders, the executives, whether it's the President of the United States or a federal agency or down to a state or local level, could be a city or county commissioner or council person, now can point to these benchmark, these standards of practice, and say, in order for us to practice procurement the right way, we should be following these standards of practice. And not too different from generally accepted accounting principles and practices that are available for accountants, principles that are available for attorneys, engineers.
And in fact, you've had other organizations. I just saw that the National Association of Auditors, Controllers, and Treasurers have joined this initiative to create these principles, these practices, because they believe that this will help government. Is that why?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the professional societies, of which NIGB is one of many that are in the public procurement space, they're all trying to achieve this area where you have a standard that is accepted not only by procurement but also as the stakeholders of procurement. So federal, state, or local government is looking to maximize the tax dollar the most effective way as possible. they're looking at being able to establish these best practices for their own agencies. So this particular program, even though it's led by NIGP, they're not NIGP's standards and practices. They're for the profession. They're part of the public domain. And so we, through a collaborative process, we wanted to make sure that we involved every level of stakeholder agency. So we want participation and involvement at the federal, state, and local level, and certainly within those associations that are dependent on good public procurement practices for good governance. So as you mentioned, NASACT, which is the state auditors, comptrollers, and treasurers, is part of the process. On a federal, state, and local level, the Association of Governmental Accountants, they represent accountants from all levels of the government. On a local level, National Association of Counties, League of Cities, U.S. Conference of Mayors, School Business Officials, International City County Managers Association, they have all kind of joined with us because they represent that stakeholder group.
We're talking to Rick Grimm. He is the CEO of the National Institute of Governmental Purchasing, and we're talking about the principles and practices of public procurement. And we'll have a link to the practices on our website, DorbeckInsider.com. Talk a little bit about, because you have a public comment period open right now. Talk a little bit about how that works, what you're looking for folks to actually comment on. What are you looking for?
Sure. Again, if we go back to the purpose of the standards of practice to get those benchmarks available, our strategy really is to develop and approve about 10 practices standards for the next 3 years so that at the end of the third year we have about 30 standards that are out there. The first three deal with strategic planning, performance management, and performance measurement. And each one of those, we have a core group that has come together and said, the standard for this practice should be X, Y, and Z. Once that standard has been developed in a draft form, then we are looking for public comment. The public comment's available for 30 days. We're looking for any stakeholder group to come in and really kick the tires on this and I'd be able to identify where the standard is weak, where it needs some improvement, because it is a public standard. We want to make sure that it's as much of a collaborative process as possible.
What would be helpful?
What would be helpful is when you develop let's just take strategic planning. Let's say that we identify five concepts that are important if you're going to have a standard for strategic planning, and someone comes through a public agency and says, you missed a sixth one, or I disagree that one of the five is on there that really is not part of the standard process. So you're looking for that rigorous debate that allows the standard to become richer because it's not just seen from a state or a local eye or just a federal eye or just an NIGP eye, that it really is looked at across the spectrum of the different levels of government and across different stakeholder groups. That's why when we involved organizations like the National League of Cities or NACO or even AGA, they're looking at it from a different lens. And their opportunity and their encouragement to participate in the public comment period really enriches that standard. Keep in mind that the standards are always evolutionary. So just because strategic planning looks like X in 2011 doesn't mean that it won't be transformational in 2012, 13, and 14. You always want to have that critical eye to make sure these are the right standards.